Well, this morning we are going to hear from Jesus about someone who gets the job done. Verse 8, when he comes. Verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes. He's going to get the job done. When I have a job that needs doing around the house, a dripping tap or a blocked sink or a broken toilet, it may be something I've noticed. It may be something my wife has sweetly pointed out. The first thing that happens is it goes on my list. The next thing is I look around and I see if I can fix it myself. Sometimes I can, sometimes I can't. But I think if I had the right kind of tool, I could probably fix it. Here are a couple of the tools that I've got over the years for fixing various jobs around the house. But there are some jobs when I get so far and then I think, this is beyond me. I can't do this on my own. I don't have the expertise. I don't have the knowledge. I need to get someone in to do it. Well, I'm lucky enough to know a couple of good plumbers. Ask me afterwards if you want a recommendation. And I get them in. I get them to do the job. And they get the job done. New tap, job done. Leaking pipe, job done. Well, in this morning's passage, there are two jobs on our list. And the great news is that the Holy Spirit gets the job done. If you were here yesterday, as well as seeing the rector abseil down from the roof, you'd have heard that we have in the Bible an ancient but reliable document. And you'd have heard that Christmas is about a baby who came, was born to save us. Because we need saving. Well, this ancient document, this Bible that we hold in our hands, is reliable to make the truth of Jesus known. That's the first job that the Holy Spirit does. And the second job is helping you and me know that we need to follow Jesus. So look down at this passage, if you have it in front of you, and verse 7, where Jesus says to his disciples, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." As Jesus prepares to leave his disciples, he tells them, he promises them about the Holy Spirit. The one who will be a helper, a friend, a comforter, just as he has been. But this Holy Spirit will be with them 24/7 wherever they are. This was good news. Maybe you're here this morning and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. You might have great tools of reasoning and determination. But it's actually impossible for you to become a follower of Jesus without the Holy Spirit helping you. So the two jobs on the Holy Spirit's list in this passage are to make the truth about Jesus known and to make people see that they should follow Jesus. You might be thinking, Richard, what's so great about that? Well, could you picture this scene? Exactly 1 week ago, me and my family and a few other people were down at the corner of Oxford Circus, along with Mikhail, singing songs and carols. We were singing things like "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." We were singing it this morning. We sang, "He comes to make his blessings flow wherever guilt is found." Maybe you knew faces in that crowd. We were able to speak to some of them. But how will they come to know the joy of Jesus? How will they come to receive blessings all the good that Jesus brought instead of guilt? And the answer is, the Holy Spirit gets the job done. So first, make the truth about Jesus known. Look down at the end of chapter 15, right at the top of page 1084. Jesus says, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. He will testify about me. Friends, he did it. He got the job done. And Jesus says, you also must testify, the apostles. And the apostles did it because of the Holy Spirit's job. So making the truth about Jesus known, job done. The disciples at this point were under massive strain. They were rocked by the news that Jesus is going to leave them. And Jesus wasn't hiding from them the fact that they're going to be persecuted. Chapter 16, verse 2, they will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who thinks who kills you will think that they are offering a service to God. So can you see, as they were feeling rocked by what Jesus is saying, verses 13 and 14 would have been a great comfort. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Make the truth about Jesus known. Job done. Oh, the apostles were threatened with martyrdom, but that didn't stop them making Jesus known to the world. People tried to spread lies, but the truth was written down and confirmed. Every century since then, people have tried to question the New Testament, but today, we can be more sure than ever that this is a reliable record of the person Jesus. Making the truth about Jesus known, the Holy Spirit got the job done. Remember Jesus's, the Apostle Peter's first public speech after Jesus had died. Remember, Peter had denied Jesus three times. And there was loads that he just didn't get while Jesus was with him. But after the Holy Spirit is given to the church, just as Jesus said he would be, Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and you who live in Jerusalem, listen carefully what I have to say. Isn't it striking? Peter had the power to know truth about Jesus because the Spirit was getting the job done. Think about the Apostle John. He writes this gospel that we're looking at this morning. He had so much true material, he couldn't fit it all in. And he writes, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Making the truth about Jesus known, the Spirit got the job done. And let me tell you about me, Richard. When I was 15, I had some Christian friends at school who seemed really sure about what they believed about God, about life. And I realized that I wasn't. And through reading the Gospels, I became convinced that Jesus was exactly who he said he was. And because of the Holy Spirit getting the job done, the person I discovered there is not just a rough portrait of Jesus, it's the real Jesus. That's the person I met. The Holy Spirit got the job done of making the truth about Jesus known. So let's have confidence in sharing Jesus. I think of a conversation I had at Christmas Day lunch with my uncle a few years ago. He was scathing about the idea that there could be a God in such a world of suffering. It was pretty disheartening, to be honest. But because of the Holy Spirit's work, I can actually show him Jesus, can't I? I can show him how Jesus responded to suffering. I can show him what Jesus said when asked about seemingly random killings. I can show him how Jesus did respond when he suffered. I guess what I want to say to us is that maybe like me, you've come to kind of take it for granted that we have so much real truth about Jesus at our disposal. No, this was a humanly impossible job. Think about the place the apostles were in. But done by humans with superhuman help from the Spirit. So today, whether on our phone or a booklet of the Gospels or a Bible that you carry around with you, Christians in the whole of history have never had so much good opportunity to be ready any time to show people the real Jesus for ourselves and to share him with others. Make the truth about Jesus known. The Holy Spirit got the job done. Well, the second job of the Holy Spirit in our passage this morning is make people see that they should follow Jesus. This is verse 8. If you would look down again. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. Make people see that they should follow Jesus. The Spirit gets the job done. So, as it says in our version here, show people to be in the wrong. That means convict of guilt in the personal sense. To take a trivial example, when I was a school teacher, I had a big box of chocolates in my classroom so that if a student gave a particularly good answer, I might give them a chocolate as a reward. Well, one day I realized that a particular student had stolen some of those chocolates. So I called him back and I told him that I knew that he'd taken them. At first he treated it like a bit of a laugh. Oh, come on, sir, it's only a couple of sweets. But I said, no, that's stealing. And there are consequences for stealing at this school. And he stopped laughing. He was suddenly very worried. It wasn't funny anymore. He realized he'd personally done something wrong. He'd got caught, and there were consequences. That's what this word means, helping people to realize they're personally guilty about sin, righteousness, and judgment. Verse 9, about sin, because people do not believe in me. In other words, because people don't believe in Jesus. Now, if you or I were writing this, we might write something like, about sin because they've done actions which hurt others. Or about sin because people break the rules of the Creator God. But Jesus actually says in verse 9, the Spirit will show people to be in the wrong about sin because they don't believe in me, because they don't believe in Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit is going to show people that they're guilty of. Now, a survey a couple of years ago in the UK found that on average, people admitted to feeling guilty 3 times a week. And that guilty feeling lingered over 2 hours on average. You might be interested to know the top 10 reasons. 1, giving in to a craving. 2, not calling family enough. 3, breaking a diet. 4, not calling friends enough. 5, accidentally being rude to someone. 6, not tidying up. Cancelling on a friend is 7. Eight is getting a takeaway. This was before Deliveroo. Nine is gossiping, and then 10 is actually being rude to someone. Those are the top 10, but there were 25 items on the list, and none of them mentioned not believing in Jesus. People don't need the Holy Spirit to show them, to show us that we're guilty of doing wrong. We know that already. On the other hand, it never occurs to people, most people, that they're guilty because of not believing in Jesus. But it should do. We're told right at the beginning of John's gospel, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. It was true for the Jews at the time of Jesus. They should have seen that the man Jesus was the long-awaited Christ, the King of Israel. He fulfilled all the prophecies, but they didn't receive him. They didn't believe in him. Would you feel guilty if you were walking along and you realized that someone you knew was coming the other way, so you tried to avoid seeing them, avoid them seeing you, and then they realized that that's what you're doing? Well, that's a tiny fraction of the guilt of failing to recognize Jesus. But not just for the Jews. Failing to recognize Jesus for who he is makes all of us guilty in multiple ways. As the creator of everything in the world, we stand before him, if we don't recognize him, as people who've taken his things without asking and without thanking him. As the one who died to reprieve a world under judgment, every minute we continue to breathe, only tolerated because of his spilt blood. Could we be more guilty if we don't recognize him? As the perfect man who offers forgiveness, well, any attempt to brush over my misdeeds or to try and make up for them in another way is an insult to Jesus' offer of mercy. Well, you and I can show people Jesus, the Creator, the perfect man, the one who died for humanity. Jesus has been revealed to the world for 2,000 years. And knowledge about him is available in almost every place. But you and I cannot enable people to feel their guilt about failing to recognize him. But the Holy Spirit, he gets that job done. That's a job he can do and is doing. I mentioned Peter's speech to the crowds in Jerusalem on the day the Holy Spirit came. And what happened? When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" The crowd were shown to be in the wrong about not believing in Jesus. They were cut to the heart. Because the Holy Spirit gets the job done, we can pray expectantly that people will see that they're in the wrong about not believing in Jesus. Who are you going to pray that for? Then in verse 10, we see that the Holy Spirit proves the world to be in the wrong about righteousness because I'm going to the Father. When Jesus was on the cross, he was just one of three publicly condemned criminals. It certainly didn't look like he was on the side of right. But he was vindicated, shown to be on the right, resurrected, and then going to the throne of his Father in heaven, where he is today. On Palm Sunday 1554, the then Princess Elizabeth, the future Queen Elizabeth I, was arrested on suspicion of aiding a plot against her half-sister, the Queen. She was led up to the infamous entrance of the Tower of London, the so-called traitor's gate. Initially, she refused to go in, proclaiming that she was no traitor. But amidst the pouring rain, she was led into her prison. But nothing was proved against her. She was eventually released, and then later on became queen, going on to reign for 48 years. That is a tiny picture of the vindication of Jesus. It would be nice if we could do a live satellite link up to show people, look, Jesus is there reigning. He's in the right. But of course we can't. But the Holy Spirit can show people. He can prove the world to be in the wrong about righteousness because Jesus has gone to the Father where we can see him no longer. Today, many of the words of Jesus, the words he gave his apostles through the Spirit, are, let's be honest, in the doghouse, inappropriate, on the wrong side of history. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Not really acceptable in today's culture. Wouldn't you have felt powerless if you were a supporter of Princess Elizabeth in the Tower of London, looking for all the world like she'll be condemned and executed, just like her mother? But you and I are not powerless. The Holy Spirit can show people Jesus' righteousness, that he's on the side of right. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. Verse 11, and about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Again, if you or I were writing this, you might think to say the Holy Spirit will prove the world to be in the wrong about judgment because there really will be a day of reckoning, or about judgment because all of us will face Jesus as judge one day. Now, those things are true, but that's not what Jesus actually says. He says about judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. What's he talking about? Well, Jesus has said in chapter 12 about the cross, that is the time when the prince of this world will be driven out. You see, for you and me this morning, if we belong to Jesus, the cross was a stunning victory that changes everything. We had an enemy who could point to our hundreds of misdeeds and declare us guilty. We had an enemy who could ensure that our death would mean eternal condemnation. We had an enemy who we were powerless to prevent keeping us in our life of sin. When Christ went to the cross, that enemy was defeated. The prince of this world now stands condemned. But he still has a considerable following. You might be shocked to know that people who aren't disciples of Jesus are, according to the Bible, well and truly in the grip of the devil, unknowingly maybe. Imagine hundreds of people in prison meekly obeying the handful of prison guards because they're terrified of their weapons. And yet, what if the prison guards had completely run out of ammunition? The Holy Spirit shows people that the prince of this world is condemned. I once met a man in Japan who had come to know about Jesus and used to go to church almost every week, but wasn't becoming a Christian because of fear about what would happen if he refused to pray at a shrine, which was connected with his work. Well, the Holy Spirit has the power to show him that the one behind his fears now stands condemned. Making people see that they should follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit gets the job done. Let me finish by giving us a big helping of confidence. If the Christmas message is that Jesus has surely come to the world, the message of Jesus in this passage is that the truth of Jesus is surely coming to the world. Making the truth about Jesus available forever, the Holy Spirit gets the job done. Making people see that they should follow Jesus, the Spirit gets the job done. If we're a follower of Jesus this morning, then I know, like me, you would love to be used in 2022, helping people to follow him. Jesus gives us great confidence that we can be used like that. Not confidence that it's going to be easy or going to make us popular, but that we have a powerful ally at our side. We don't just have tools. We have the Holy Spirit, and he gets the job done. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for Christmas, that you came to save us. And thank you for the Holy Spirit, who helps this saving news to come to the world. We pray that you would be at work in us and through us today and in the days to come. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.